Well, good morning, everybody. Shall we just pray? It's been a powerful, spirit-packed morning, and I praise the Lord for it, but let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We can gather here in freedom in your presence. And we pray by the Holy Spirit, Lord. You've already given us many words through the prayers and through the word people that we need to be focusing on you. We need to be walking in the Spirit more. And Lord, the Great Commission is to reach out to others, to heal the sick, to just be the loving hands of Jesus in this world. And Father, that's what each one of us want to do. And Lord, this Sunday, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you touch every heart in this auditorium? Would you touch mine? Would you change each one of us into the person you want us to be? Would you do something this morning that is so awesome in each one of our lives that we know we've met with the living Lord Jesus Christ by the power of his Holy Spirit? And Lord, would you guide the words that I speak this morning, that they're your words and not my words. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, because you want God's words and not my words, all right? As Terry said, you've got me this Sunday and you've got me next Sunday, but actually that's rather good, because next Sunday is Pentecost. This Sunday is a prelude to Pentecost. And I was so thrilled with the prayers and the word that people, because we need to be walking in the dynamite of the Holy Spirit. Some agree with me, but maybe more will agree with me as we get going. If I had got a special guest here today, and I said to somebody in this auditorium, would you introduce him or her for me from the platform, please? You'd scratch your head. You say, well, I know they're well known. I know they're famous. Say J. John, who we just saw that clip of. But I don't think I feel adequate to do it. You would, wouldn't you? That's what you'd say. Now, if I asked you to introduce the Holy Spirit, I wonder what you'd all say. Some of you would say, yeah, I can do it. Some of you would say, I don't feel capable. I don't feel quite adequate. But, we always know when I say the word but, beware, there's an underlying truth coming. Beware, an underlying truth. So, but, Jesus introduced the Holy Spirit to his disciples. So if he did it, we can do it. We can do it because he did it, whichever way around you like. So let's turn in our Bibles, shall we, to John 16 and see just how Jesus did it. John 16, verses 13 to 16. But when he, that's the Holy Spirit, also known as the Spirit of Truth, comes, John 16, verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me. This is Jesus speaking, so he'll glorify Jesus. Because it is from Jesus that he will receive what he will make known to you. That's to me and you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, as Jesus. That is why Jesus said the Spirit will receive from him what he will make known to you and me. So today, may I introduce you to the Holy Spirit in a way that we can all grasp and understand? One. May I? Okay, let's go for it then. So firstly, let's get this right. The Holy Spirit is a person. We all know this, I'm sure. He's the third part of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And some people, even as Christians, get hung up and say, three in one, can't quite get it. But it's so easy. You can explain this to other people, very easy. Water, ice, and steam. They're all H2O, but they all appear differently. Would you agree? Yes. So it's so easy. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all the same, but have different attributes and appear differently. So there's several important characteristics of the ministry of the Holy Spirit I want us to major in on today, and I'm briefly going to go through seven of them, although of course there are more, so don't come up to me and say, what about so-and-so? We're limited on time, all right, this morning. Firstly, The Holy Spirit is all-powerful and he works acts and deeds. I've had them write out these seven attributes because I think it's helpful if you're making notes. So if you've got your Bibles handy still, turn to Genesis 1, please. Right at the start. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And you say, why she read that to start with? Because when you see the word God there in the beginning, God, it's plural. We don't know that because we don't have a plural word for God. But written in Hebrew in the beginning, they would have known. Elohim was plural. God the Father and God the Son. And the verse 2, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And so we realize the Trinity was there at beginning, so there's no problem whatsoever. The original word for that word hovering we have in our Bibles was brooded. And I think that's really perhaps a better word for us to understand, because it portrays the image of a mother hen sitting on eggs. It's love going to bring those eggs to full-grown chicks. This is love. The Holy Spirit is there to do what Father God and Jesus command. He is going to bring it into being. So therefore we see the Holy Spirit brought life and order into the earth. His creative power at the beginning brought the physical world into existence at God's command. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, that Mary conceived Jesus. I'm sure we all know this, Matthew 1:18. And it was through the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus was raised from the dead. And you can read about that in the Gospels. I've just got one at the top of my mind, Luke 24. So what about now then? Now, through God's love and mercy and grace, the Holy Spirit broods, remember that word, broods, love, and hovers over the lost to draw them to Christ, to draw them to Christ. Our prayers are effective because the Holy Spirit draws people to Christ. Your prayers are going to be effective for people to come to the Emirates because the Holy Spirit draws people to Christ. But you've got to get them in the environment. You've got to get them into church. You've got to get them into your fellowship meetings in your life groups. You've got to get them to the Emirates. You've got to get people there. Yes, I know they can have an encounter with God in their own bed, in their own home. But we still need to be the hands and feet of Jesus reaching out. So we start to realize this morning that the Holy Spirit is the source of power here on earth. Would you agree? Yes, you would. And next week we'll be looking at the Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. But today I want us to start to anticipate and raise your level of expectation of what the Holy Spirit can do through you and you and you and you and me, each one of us. Because he wants us to turn up our expectation this morning as we allow the mighty power of God to flow through us. Up for it? I think we are. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is all-knowing and he is all-wise. The scripture I used at the very beginning, which Jesus used, is our text. And it's John 16, verse 14 that highlights this. He will bring power to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. That's Jesus' words. And in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, we read, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And the majority of preachers stop there. But you know what? We've got another little word. But beware, there's an underlying truth coming. God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. It's in the text. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So the Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God, and he wants to give it to me. He wants to give it to you. Hallelujah. So God's wisdom is revealed to you and I by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will open our understanding. He will guide us. He will guide us if we allow him to. But we have to turn to the Lord in all circumstances. There was a beautiful prayer this morning when somebody said, He's in the eye of the storm. If we get to Him in the eye of the storm, He'll get us through it. Amen. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit is involved in personal relationship. Aha, you think, where is she going? Well, just look what I said at the beginning just now about Genesis. Genesis 1, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit working, the three of them, in tandem. So, yes, but if you can turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke 3. Let's read where Jesus was baptized, shall we? Luke 3, 21 and 22. And this is when Jesus was baptized. And you heard this morning about baptism. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. I was baptized as a baby, confirmed as a teenager, but I didn't know the Lord. And when I got to know the Lord, I decided I wanted to be baptized. And the church I was in at the time didn't agree that I should be, but the time I got to a church where I could be, I was baptized by full immersion, and it changed my life. Amen? So I encourage you, we've got baptisms coming up. So let's read about this. Luke 3:21. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Relationship, relationship, relationship. Now the Holy Spirit wants relationship with you and me as believers. So just flick over in your Bibles to John 14. And this is Jesus. This is Jesus talking when he promised the Holy Spirit was coming before he went to the cross. And he's saying, well, let's go to 15. If you love me, keep my commands. Yes, Lord, we know that. Verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. That's the Holy Spirit, to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. It's another word for the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Oh, I can't leave the last bit. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we start to see the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, intricately entwined, and we can have the Holy Spirit dwell within us to guide us and lead us. Amen? Personal relationship. Number four. You've only got seven. You'll get home for lunch, don't worry. The Holy Spirit moved men to write and speak the Word of God and influenced people for a specific role or purpose. Now, we realize this in the Old Testament. He came on men and women for a specific purpose. He was not poured out until Jesus had been born, died, rose again, ascended into heaven, and sent the Holy Spirit in Acts. All right? So he wasn't available to all believers then. But let me give you some examples from the Old Testament of how much he came upon folk. Moses. Moses ended up writing the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. The Old Testament. David ended up writing the Psalms. Solomon wrote the Song of Solomon. Then we've got Isaiah, Daniel, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos, Haggai, Naaman, and Malachi, and many more. And I read them off so quickly, you know I've got them written down. Hallelujah. But one scripture from the Old Testament I want to give us was 2 Samuel 23:2, and it says, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. So we realize that the Holy Spirit, when he came upon people in the Old Testament for a specific purpose, was very powerful. All right? In the New Testament, we have the Holy Spirit poured out in Acts, remember. Fifthly, the Holy Spirit warns, he speaks, he guides, he counsels, and he teaches. Our text again from John 16, verse 13 this time. But when he, Holy Spirit, remember, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Let me give you a couple of examples from the New Testament. In Acts 10:19, we see Simon Peter being spoken to by the Holy Spirit. You remember he went into a trance and a sheet came down full of all unclean animals, and he heard the Lord say, Peter, get up and eat. So, but anyway, in verse 19, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. He heard it very clearly, very specifically. He went down, and we know those people took him to Cornelius, and we know that Cornelius and his household were non-Jewish people, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then was poured out on people who were not Jewish. Quite an important scripture. And in Acts 16, verses 6 to 10, you don't have to go there. If you're making notes, look it up at home. We see Paul and his companions being guided by the Holy Spirit where to travel to preach the gospel. And you might say to me, where am I supposed to reach these people? These people who don't know Jesus are everywhere. As J. John says, they're everywhere. They're next door to you, they're down the street, they're in the supermarket, they're at the school gate, they're in your office, they're at the petrol station. They're everywhere. You just reach out to people in love. You're not trying to push a Bible down their throat. You're just trying to be the hands and feet of Jesus. But anyway, in that scripture, we see Paul and his companions being guided. And they were counseled. They were counseled by the Holy Spirit not to go to Asia, not to go to Mysia, not to go to Bithynia, but to go over to Macedonia, where people would be open more to hear. And in the life of Jesus on earth, we see the guiding work of the Holy Spirit through Jesus. In Luke 4, we know that Jesus, after he was baptized, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the River Jordan, led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness. And we know that he was tested there, 40 days and 40 nights. Tested by whom? The devil. In John 10:39, Jesus was guided by the Holy Spirit when he was supernaturally guided right through the midst of a crowd wanting to take his life. Look it up, read it at home. You'll see I'm right. So the Holy Spirit guides us primarily through an inward witness. Anybody agree? Yeah? Let me give you some examples. There were many Christians didn't go to work on the day of 9/11 because they had a quiet time with the Lord, and they just felt this check in their spirit. Something's wrong, something's wrong. They didn't know what it was, but they didn't get there. Let me just share with you, Thursday, Terry and I were coming home from the Colchester Way. And it's such a straight road, isn't it, from Colchester, Ipswich to Felixstowe. And Terry said to me, I'm not going on the main road. I said, why? He said, I've got to check in my spirit. Now, we looked at the news. There were no accidents that would have affected us. There could have been some bottlenecks with traffic. I don't know. But what did we gain through that? Lord knows we're obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit, to that inward check. What about you? Do you sometimes think, I don't know if I want to go that way, I'll go that way. Check it out. It could be God trying to test your obedience to what he's trusting you with. Sixthly, the Holy Spirit regenerates our souls and he makes us spiritually alive. Hallelujah for that. Just turn back, you're still in John, to John 3, please. I don't know if everybody here today knows the Lord. Maybe there's some that don't. But we'll just look at John 3, and I think we'll pick up in verse 3. This is Nicodemus coming to Jesus. And Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council, and he came to Jesus at night, all right, because he didn't want to be seen to be doing this. So, let's start at verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council, and he came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit." Holy Spirit, that is. "Flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it is going or coming from. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit." So we know when we become a Christian, we're born of the Spirit. But there's an infilling of the Spirit. And God wants us to go on being filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to give you and me, regenerated mankind, gifts. Gifts. And you can read about those in home if you're taking notes. 1 Corinthians 12, 7-11, Romans 12, 6-8. And I'll just give you in a nutshell the gifts. Prophecy, we heard some words this morning. Serving, encouraging, giving, leading, mercy, miracles, healing, administration, tongues, interpretation of tongues. But remember, love undergirds all the gifts. And there's two sorts of tongues. One's your own private heavenly prayer language, which when we all, like this morning, sing in tongues, we use that. And the other is a word of tongues when someone brings a tongue from to the front and it has an interpretation by one or others in the fellowship. And then we have the fruit of the Spirit. And this is something that God has for everybody. Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I want you to realize, it's not pick and mix. It's a fruit. It is not fruits. I hear so many people say the fruits of the Spirit. It's not. It's one fruit. It's like an orange. You peel it down and you've got all those segments. You can't say, "I'll have a bit of love today, but I haven't got self-control." Love encompasses. Self-control undergirds. And you may say, "I struggle on some of these." Well, that's what God's saying to you and me. Come on. I want to do something in you today to help you, to lead you, to guide you by the Spirit. I want to do a new work in you, every single one of you, this morning, by the power of my Holy Spirit. Do you need the Holy Spirit to regenerate you today? Do you want the Holy Spirit to guide you more today? Do you want to hear him? Well, I say to each one of us today, turn up your level of expectation. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you this morning. And the last point, 7. The Holy Spirit leads the believer into high praise. He heals and he pours the love of God into our lives as he brings favor to us. I love Proverbs 17:22, where we learn that a happy heart and a cheerful spirit are good medicine to our soul. That's what we want, isn't it? And Romans 15:13 tells us, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Who wants to overflow? Yeah, every hand is up there. We all want to overflow. Isaiah 53:5 tells us, "By his wounds," that was prophesying about the wounds of Jesus, "we are healed. But then the good news is we get to 1 Peter 2:24, the other side of the cross, and we read, by his wounds you have been healed. So Jesus paid the price on the cross. He took it for me, for you, for everybody in the world, our healing that we desire. Sometimes it's very hard for us to bring it into being. And we all need to encourage one another and help one another and love one another. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus loves you. Jesus Christ is for the world. Do you know Jesus really loves you? Do you trust him? Do you trust him in every situation? He died and rose again for you and me to be free and for all who will receive him. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit he sent is for you and me, for the believer, to encourage us, to guide us, to lead us, to empower us, to help us to go to new heights for Jesus. Not for me, for Jesus. Do you know stress tears down our immunity systems? Who knows that? Yeah. But so does sadness. So does anxiety. So does worry. So does fear. The joy of the Lord and high praise is our strength. Nehemiah 8 tells us, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Do you need strength this morning? Spring into joy. You have to do it. You have to make yourself do it. Oh, I don't feel like it. Well, do it anyway, and you'll gradually feel like it. I always remember Creflo Dollar when he'd been diagnosed with cancer. He hardly knew what to do, and I remember him saying one thing. He went out into his back garden, or backyard as they call it, and he just kept going, ah ha 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 ha, ha 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 ha, I'm happy, ha 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 ha. And he said he went over and over and over. The family thought he'd gone crazy, but he had to get himself to a different level that he could start to praise the Lord. In other words, he was trying to laugh at the devil. He did receive his healing. But we need to understand, we have to choose to have this joy sometimes. And Romans 5:5 tells us, the Holy Spirit was sent to pour God's love into our hearts. If we have the Holy Spirit and we start to raise up in high praise, guess what? We praise because the Holy Spirit wants us to. High praise will take you through and out of battles in life. And if you don't believe me, what about Paul and Silas in jail? Acts 16, verse 25, if you want to read it at home. They had been put in the deepest dungeon, Paul and Silas. They were absolutely shackled and manacled. There were rats down there, there was sewage down there, there was everything. And about midnight, we read, they started to sing and praise God. And the other prisoners listened and paid attention. And then the doors opened on the prison. All the doors opened. The shackles fell off. God's in the midst of our problems if we allow him by his Holy Spirit to take us through them. I want to be taken through them. So let me just ask each one of us a question. How many times have we, each one of us, myself included, sat here or watched a Christian program or gone to a conference and heard wonderful preaching, wonderful teaching and thought, yes, I'm going for it. And we get out to the door, we get home, and it evaporates, it's gone. That could be for a variety of reasons, but I want us to realize the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to do that today. He wants to do something new in your life and my life. Make a decision today. Embrace every good thing the Lord has got for you. I'm going to ask you, maybe you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you're not sure, you probably haven't. If you've given your heart to Jesus, yes, you have the Holy Spirit. But there is an infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Word tells us to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you feel today you want a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you feel today, I'm fed up with this bad backache. I'm going to get something done about it. or whatever is plaguing you in that area. Maybe you've got problems in your life that you can't share with anybody. Maybe you've got strongholds in your life that you can't share with anybody. But you can share them with Jesus because he knows anyway. And we heard a word this morning telling us to rise up and come up and allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us. We heard a word this morning encouraging us to reach our friends and families and neighbors and work colleagues with the love and the grace of the Lord. Do you know the Holy Spirit affirms you, leads you to Christ? The Holy Spirit wants to affirm believers. The Holy Spirit wants to affirm God's word in you and me. 1 John 4:4 tells us, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you believe it? Terry, I'd like you to come, if you would, please. I've introduced you this morning to a special guest. I've introduced you to the Holy Spirit. He was here before I came to this platform. He was flowing in this meeting. He's here now. Do you feel more competent to go out into this world and reach people with the love of Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you feel more competent to lay hands on people and say, be healed in the name of Jesus? Do you feel more competent to invite people to your life group? Do you feel more competent to invite people to the Emirates event with J. John? This morning, I'm asking you, if you know you need a fresh touch from the Lord, I'm speaking next week about Pentecost, and I know the Lord's given us a powerful message for that as well. I've sought him for quite a long while over these two talks, and I believe this is just what the Lord wants us to hear. It's time, folks. It's time to rise up and say, I'm standing for Jesus. I'm standing for Jesus. Who's standing for Jesus? Well, stand to your feet and stand for Jesus. Stand to your feet and stand for Jesus.